Discussions in Davos at a decisive time for the global economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. It's the diary date set large in the planners of top bankers, politicians and business leaders. Davos, the meeting of the World Economic Forum in the Swiss mountain resort. Now pushed back because of a spike in coronavirus cases, the to-do list could not be longer or more crucial. The BBC's economics editor Faisal Islam is there.
It feels like an economic precipice for the world. Energy prices, food costs, interest rates and debts all on the rise at the same time, sharply slowing down the world economy. And geopolitics, diplomacy and war are getting in the way of the normal economic reaction. That is what the IMF chief, Kristalina Georgieva, refers to as a confluence of calamities.
They translate into low growth and high inflation. Second, the long-term challenges have not gone away. Climate change and the benefits but also risks of the digital revolution. And third, the growing risk of geo-economic fragmentation.
Those public words are echoed privately from top business leaders starting to wonder at this summit of globalization whether that process is now going inexorably into reverse, with unprecedented sanctions, protectionist trade embargoes and genuine fears about a food crisis overshadowing the start of this meeting.
The BBC's Faisal Islam. Well, while the decision makers and policy experts talk, some 170 miles away from Davos, in Italy's industrial north, high energy prices and major trade disruptions, thanks to the war in Ukraine and continuing China lockdowns, are hitting businesses hard. The BBC's Jessica Parker reports from Brescia, where workers at metal and steel plants are feeling the squeeze.
A warm spring day in Brescia. Bells chime out across one of the city's squares. Here, in part of northern Italy's industrial heartland, I meet Paolo Ferraresi. A metal worker, he's been on reduced hours as factories grapple with volatile energy costs. The father of two left school aged 15. Now his life savings are gone.
Le finanze sono zero.
Our finances are zero. That's to say that they are under. We're in the red.
But Brescia's metalworks still binds people together. At a cast iron foundry, they make wind power components and machine tools. It's noisy work.
The Fonderie Ariotti has been going for over 100 years, and I'm going to meet a couple who met here at work, Morella and Lucas, to see how they're coping with rising prices.
Mirella says there was a spark between them. Now living together, two steady wages are up against rising food, petrol and energy prices.
With regard to electricity, we have recently suffered like everyone. Our bill has doubled.
We are tightening our belts a little more. You'll save less.
Orders at the cast iron foundry continue to flow, but a crucial source of raw materials was the besieged Ukrainian city of Mariupol. Now shortages have ignited higher costs. Over at one of Italy's largest steel plants, Alfa Chai, vast cranes swoop down into mountains of scrap metal. Inside, around 7,000 tonnes of it gets melted down every day and forged into long, red-hot bars before the next stage of the process. I talked to Margherita Stabiumi.
I'm a shareholder of Alfa Chai. We are a joint venture of two families.
She says energy costs have rocketed.
The main consequence is that our price of the finished product has risen a lot. And this is a problem for our clients, of course, because they still need to buy our product.
There are ominous sounds about the global economy echoing here in Brescia and in communities across the world. People bracing for events they may feel but can't control.
Jessica Parker in northern Italy. Let's take a look at the markets, and we've seen broad-based gains pushing up most European markets more than 1%, and gains in Asian stocks suggest that some Trump-era trade tariffs imposed on China may be lifted. Now, Australia has a new Prime Minister, and it's a big change for the country because it's the first Labour government, centre-left government, in almost a decade. It's headed up by PM Anthony Albanese, and he's already had to be sworn in despite not all the votes being counted. That's because he's headed straight to Japan to join the crucial Quad Summit in Tokyo. That includes the US, India and Japan. Here he is just before he departed.
The relationship with the United States is our most important. So the meetings that we will have, not just with the United States, but importantly with our hosts in Japan and India, send a message to the world that there's a new government in Australia that represents a change in terms of the way that we deal with the world on issues like climate change.
Well, this meeting with the Quad is also important to discuss Australia's relationship with China. Here's the BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney.
In recent years, Australia's relationship with China has really fallen away. It has deteriorated in spectacular fashion over a range of geopolitical and other disputes. The result has been that China has imposed restrictions on many Australian commodities and agricultural goods. So the relationship is pretty much as bad as it's been for many, many years.
That's the BBC's Phil Mercer there in Sydney. And finally, the Brits are known for their English country gardens. Well, today sees the opening of what could be called the Oscars of the gardening world. It's the Chelsea Flower Show, beloved of the royal family. Let's just hope the sun keeps shining for them. In London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.